You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Welcome to the School of Influence podcast, where the queen and king of influencer marketing, authors and professors Amanda Russell and Neil Schaefer, cut through the noise and dissect what makes brands and professionals influential. No fluff, just the real deal.
All right. Hey, today we have another special guest. I'm really excited about introducing you, and I'm going to let Amanda do the introduction, but someone that is really part of this multi-billion dollar industry that we call influencer marketing, who is going to be able to share a lot of information and advice about influencers from the inside. So Amanda.
Yes, thanks, Neil. So couldn't be more in the industry, influencer marketing. Jessie Grossman, I met through, as she founded something called Women in Influencer Marketing. And it's become like this movement almost of tons of women all over the place on every level, from agency to entrepreneur to management to influencers themselves, thought leadership all over the across the board. She also has an agency herself. And it's just overall probably one of the big names in women's influencer marketing right now. So Jessie Grossman, thank you so much, first of all, for being on our show. And I'd love to hear a little bit about how you got into influencer marketing in the first place.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me. I really am happy to be here and just chatting with you about all this. So yeah, it's funny, right? Like everybody gets to influencer marketing in a very unique path. But most people don't study it in school. Most people don't grow up thinking, oh, I'll work in influencer marketing. So my path is in the talent management side of things. So I got introduced to talent representation at a very large talent agency, but I used to represent actors. So in much more traditional media, but I represented actors in commercials. So there's actually a lot of synergies. It's just a different type of talent, all working with the same types of brands. So at that agency, represented actors for years. I ended up actually founding their influencer division at that agency. People were like, what the heck is she doing? Like, what is this thing? Influencers? Like, we're making millions of dollars representing actors, like high profile, A-list celebrity actors. But then, of course, I started bringing in a good amount of revenue. So I founded that division at that wonderful agency. It still exists today. I ended up leaving that agency to start my own because I got the entrepreneur bug. All my clients at that time were all entrepreneurs themselves as influencers, and they inspired me to go out on my own. And the whole time, I had this company, this organization called WIM, which is short for Women in Influencer Marketing. And for me, I, having started out not knowing anything about it because my background is with actors, I was like, how do I, like, this contract looks different than my contracts with SAG-AFTRA, for example, with actors. And, you know, influencers, they are different than actors. Like, how do I navigate this? How do I fit in? Like, how do I not feel like I'm an outsider? I wanted to share information with other people in the industry to check myself. And so we started it. It was an idea over coffee with a colleague of mine in the industry. And I said, I got a name, WIM. It sounds cool. I got a concept. I do want it to be for women exclusively because I'm so passionate about women in business. What do you think? Is this crazy? And she said to me, she was like, no, I like it. Let's do an event. So we threw an event that we literally just invited our friends in the industry. We got like 70 women at our first event. It was exciting. And then from there, about 5.5 years later, we have our own podcast. We have virtual networking, educational events, a powerful Facebook community, and a wonderful membership for those in the industry who want to take it a step further. and get resources, powerful resources to run their businesses and have a community around it to be able to say, if we all join forces as a collective, we can actually make some pretty powerful changes in this industry that we would like to see. So that's a little bit about my start in the industry and just a little bit about WIM as well.
Yeah. So I have to ask you, he's used the term influencer. And I think, you know, being an influencer marketing, how are you defining, because there's, you know, everybody's an influencer in some way. So what is your definition of when you said, you know, you worked with celebrities and then all of a sudden you're working with influencers? How are you defining influencers?
Yeah. So that's a really good question, because at that agency in particular, I worked with influencers in the way that I define the predominant influencers that are used in like brand partnerships are ones that are known from being on social media. However, since that agency represented celebrities who are known from their, you know, films and TV, et cetera, et cetera, I worked with those too. I just distinguished them because one's known from being on social media. That's how people know them in the first place. And others have a social media following, but they're known from their, you know, TV shows or movies, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how I sort of distinguish them. There is a distinction, a huge distinction though, from those like traditional celebrities to influencer or influencer celebrities. They have to be much more careful in how they manage brand partnerships. For example, I absolutely noticed that their followers or their fans are much more critical because they're not only used to them seeing them do brand partnerships. They kind of hold them up through a much more critical lens is what I experienced. And so you really have to be very particular about brand partnerships that you do and just how you are on social media if you are more of a celebrity in the traditional sense.
So Jesse, it's funny, and I'm sure Amanda and yourself, you probably are doing interviews on podcasts with, we're all part of the industry in different ways, but you probably do it with people that aren't part of the industry. And there's always certain things that come up, like, you know, fake influence, or, you know, when influencers are promoting brands, it's not authentic. Or I feel like when I, as a brand, a big beverage CMO, I heard, you know, secondhand, you know, influencers seem really fickle. They seem to work with one brand today and another brand tomorrow. So I think we all agree that there's tremendous value in influencer marketing and that a lot of businesses do this wrong. So I wanted to give you the podium because you have so much, and I'm sure you have a lot to say on the subject of the things of that, obviously not your clients, but the things that you see going wrong in the industry to try to re-educate people that it's not all this negative thing. It's actually a very positive thing when you do it right.
It's so funny. Yeah. So we literally, before we hopped on this conversation here, we were in a Clubhouse room. We've been doing a ton of Clubhouse events. And if anyone listening is not on Clubhouse, I highly encourage you to get on it. And we were talking about a lot of this.
Yep.
Look, essentially, I think that influencers have an opportunity, right? Like, they've amassed a following because of a number of different things. And from that, with what they've created or the algorithm has created for them, is an opportunity to do with it what they will. They can use that influence for good. They can use that influence for, you know, really impactful change, or, you know, for entertainment that's valuable too, for a relief from this crazy last year and a half that we've been living in. Like, there's all value to that. They can also go about it the complete wrong way. They can get sucked into the idea of, you know, constant growth and like comparing themselves to other influencers who have, you know, millions of more followers with them and playing the game. And look, we talk all about the mental health aspect of this as well, which is always important to talk about and mention, but, you know, that's an hour plus conversation of itself. But yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, there are always bad actors in any industry. I think that the best influencers that I prefer to align myself with really run this as a business. You know, they want that credibility. They want that longevity, and they're not willing to risk that for, you know, some bots, some, you know, extra followers and for anything that might attribute them to anything fraudulent. It can be tempting though, like real talk. I get it. I can understand from an influencer's perspective who looks left and looks right and sees their competition, who's maybe getting other, you know, other opportunities based on a higher following. But oh my gosh, it's never worth it to buy followers. That engagement is really what people look at way more than following. And your engagement plummets if you purchase, whether it's followers, likes, comments, because you can literally purchase anything these days.
That's actually a good point about, about engagement. Like people, everyone's through all these agencies and influencer marketing, quote unquote, people in the industry are throwing this term engagement. But at the end of the day, like, what does that mean? Like, if I go to a cocktail party and I tell you, you ask me how the party was, and I say, it was good, I got a bunch of engagement. You know, what does that mean? I think that that word's getting thrown around out there. But at the end of the day, like, if you come back to me and it's my business and you say, oh yeah, we're doing well, we got a lot of engagement, I want to know, well, what does that mean and how does that draw back to my bottom line? So can you explain a little bit about what that term means?
Yeah, well, I love this question because here's the thing. Instagram has, in certain countries, eliminated likes and is experimenting with eliminating likes in all those other countries that it hasn't eliminated it yet on. And we've been sort of exploring this in my circles, which is, we got to get creative about what counts as engagement these days, because certain engagement is going to be going away. I personally think that likes going away is going to be a positive thing. I think that being able to identify other things as engagement is fantastic. So I'm going to be concrete with you guys. So like, yeah, a comment has always been worth so much more than a like on a photo or a, you know, a YouTube video. I mean, there's way more to it, to writing a comment versus having just a simple like or a double tap. A DM, you know, influencers who are working on partnerships and who get DMs about that product where, you know, their followers will follow them and DM them and say, oh my gosh, like, I really love that. Like, do you really like it though? Like, what are your thoughts on this piece of that and that piece of that? And God, those influencers are dropping the ball if they don't follow up in their DMs. And they're dropping the ball if they don't provide screenshots of those to their brand partnerships to provide another proof of ROI, because there are multiple channels where their followers are following up on, having those conversations. And the most successful influencers, it's not even the conversations between them and their followers. Actually, the most engagement, in my opinion, are the conversations that are happening amongst the community members themselves. That's when you really know that you've really cultivated something real. I can't tell you enough. And I'm part of many of those communities. Like, I've been influenced by lots of people. I fall for it too. And I'm part of so many communities where they've just like, they've cultivated like-minded people, part of a community. And it happens to be like the, we're all orbiting around that one influencer. Maybe that's the person that brought us all together in the first place. But real influence is that type of community building, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. True influencers, people are talking about them when they're not in the room, right? And that's that community aspect. I don't know how many influencers that are solely on Instagram are able to do that just within Instagram. Obviously, if they have like a website or, you know, their own community, a Facebook group, it's much easier to do that. But I'm just sort of curious then. So based on your opinion, all this, the bad news that we hear, is it the fault of the influencers? Is it the fault of the brands for not doing their homework or not having more specific, you know, objectives? Is it the fault of, as you said, there are bad actors. So there are bad agencies as well, you know, I'm assuming as well. So you have this pyramid of the three players, or is everybody at fault here? And obviously, you know, your firm and you do your homework and you do your best to guide your customers. But I don't know if every agency does that, or maybe it's, you know, PR agencies who say, hey, we do influencers as well. You know, what do you think is it for the brands that are listening that really want to do more, you know, how can they best mitigate and best navigate the waters here so they don't run into these issues?
Yeah. So it's just the lazy people. It's just the lazy people. No, look, in all seriousness, like if you're a brand, whether you're small or large, you just have to align yourselves with people who have been doing this. Like, they're not rookies, they're veterans, and they know the appropriate tools, the appropriate ways to vet these people fully, because it's not just about the content, you know, and the fact that the influencer can produce beautiful content. That's sort of a given these days. And it's not even the engagement. Like, that's important, but like, even part of that is sort of a given these days. It's so much beyond. It's like their brand has to align with yours. And in this day and age, like, there's a lot of like crisis PR that I see constantly, because people are a little on edge these days for a good reason. There's a lot of, you know, social issues floating out there. So you have to make sure not only is the content on par, the numbers look good, you know, their audience is going to resonate with the product, because that's probably one of the most important things as well. It's not even the influencer, it's their audience, of course. But then it's like, is this person somebody that I would like hire in my company? Like, is this a person who's going to be sent to the HR all the time? You know, like, is this person going to get in trouble with their colleagues, quote unquote? No, this is somebody who's going to be like an A+ employee. And you really have to think about it like that. I mean, so many times, like, we overcomplicate these things, you know, and it's really just, it's like when you simplify it, you really think about it. Like, we've been hiring people since the dawn of time for companies that we work with. And, you know, the same sorts of things apply. When it comes to the specifics, though, you know, I can, you know, rattle off a few things. You know, there are definitely a lot of great tools out there that will give influencers sort of like ratings of sorts, because they look at a bunch of different factors that essentially provide like a red flag of sorts to misstep.
What are some of those tools that you think that you recommend?
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of them, to be honest. There are ones like Captivate, Four, Creator IQ. There's a ton of them. We actually have a lot of them listed on our website, so I could point people there. But a lot of them do the same thing. They're not particularly unique in that way, to be honest. They just provide that service to people that are already on their platforms, mostly for discovering influencers. And then they give them sort of like a rating of sorts, which looks into things like, what country are their followers predominantly from? And I want to bring this one up in particular, because this is a marker of a red flag to me. It's never an indicator that like 100% this person is fraudulent. And I think that is really important to say. There are a lot of bots, for example, from countries like Brazil and Russia, for reasons that, you know, we can go into at a later time, but let's just accept that as fact, because it is true. However, there could be an influencer who's Brazilian, and of course they have Brazilian followers, or there could be a Russian influencer. Of course they have Russian followers. So again, like, these things are meant to be indicators to look into more deeply and do more investigation. I have seen time and time again where people take these at face value. And I think that in this day and age, we need to think a little bit more in depth about these things and not just take things at face value. But yeah, those are just a few tools that will sort of give you that indicator. Red flag, look further into this. This could be something, but it also could not be anything.
Well, I love the advice of, you know, number one, do your homework, right? And every other part of marketing involves this sort of, you know, research and homework. Why would influencers be any different? But also, would you hire this person? I think that's really, you know, a fresh perspective. And if you can't engage with them as if they were your employee, even though they're not your employee, then are they the right fit culturally? So that makes a lot of good sense. I'm curious now from an influencer building perspective, because a lot of what this podcast does is look at how people, you know, create and build influence. Do you see influencers doing anything different now than they did before coronavirus? For instance, obviously travel influencers have taken a hit, although they can do throwbacks. There are other things they can do. But have you seen any other shifts in influence or in influencers over the last year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, the best, smartest, most business savvy ones are learning that being able to pivot your business is important. Not putting all your eggs in one basket is important. Nobody thought that the world would ever change this much. People throw around terms like, oh, Instagram can go away tomorrow. Like, that's not true. Everybody stop saying it. It's really annoying to hear. Like, that's not happening. However, you know, their algorithm can shifts all the time. You know, there's like this amorphous idea of the algorithm, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it's an, every platform has an algorithm. It's a benefit to a lot of people, actually, much less than a hindrance. But that's my two cents. And, you know, it's just diversifying. Here's advice that I give my clients. You need to tease content on all of your platforms to drive people in different directions. So for example, if I post something, even within Instagram, even in that environment, there are Instagram stories, Instagram reels, there's, you know, your in-feed, there's now you can have four people in a live. That's interesting. So it's like, how can I post something in my in-feed that I teased a little bit of in my stories that will drive people to the in-feed? because you have to meet people where they are, and that will always boost your engagement. Some people are just natively more into stories. Like, that's the type of content that resonates with them. Some people like beautiful pictures, and some people are like, no, I want to get to know this person. So I want to see them in a live. I want to hear them on Clubhouse, or I just want to see something like witty on TikTok. So you have to meet people where they are. And I think a big mistake that influencers do make is, oh, nobody's on Facebook anymore. And I'm like, okay, the whole world is on Facebook. Maybe you're not on Facebook, but if you're running your business well and you got to know that everybody, there are a lot of people on Facebook. So it's missed opportunities. It's just sort of saying that, like, in order for my business to grow, scale, and reach as many people as humanly possible, you got to think about it in a broad sense. And you have to distribute your content in a thoughtful way to be able to drive people from one to the other. So you make sure to meet people where they are.
Yeah, I've always thought Instagram is really not one social network, but multiple. Like, stories is its own. And so I agree 100%. So Jesse, this has been, you know, really great advice, both for the brands and as well as those aspiring influencers that are listening to the School of Influence. Where can people, as Amanda had, or in the introduction, you mentioned you have both an agency and you have the network. So where can our listeners go to find out more and potentially engage with you in those two arenas?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can literally find me everywhere. I meet people where they are, and I play and dabble in all the platforms. But the best way and easiest way to find me, probably at iamwim.com. That's iamwim.com. Women in influencer marketing. And then my consultant agency is called Tribe Monday. You can find us there as well. We're on all the social platforms everywhere. And yeah, I would love to hear from people listening. So I would love to continue these conversations. I live and breathe influencer marketing. I love it more than anything. So definitely reach out. I look forward to hearing from you guys.
We'll put those links in the show notes. Amanda.
Thank you so much for doing this interview with us. And I love your community. And I'm going to look for you guys on Clubhouse too. So I love when you put on your Facebook announcements when you guys are getting on Clubhouse, because it's a great reminder. So very influential on me. Thank you so much.
We want to have you. Our community is only as great as it is the members of our community. So the more great minds that join, the better it is. So we're just grateful to have you.
Hey, Jesse, on the subject, just before we go, is there like a regular day of the week and time that you're doing Clubhouses right now, or just follow you and look for the announcements?
Follow us and look for the announcement.
Okay.
We've toyed with like doing a regular thing. It's sort of like YouTube-esque in that way. But right now we're trying to announce them ahead of time all over the place so people can catch them in that way. We just got our club last week, which is exciting. Nice. So it's stuff like that. We're hoping to get the word out a little bit better.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jesse. And everyone listening, please reach out to Tribe Monday, Women in Influencer Marketing, and we'll see you on Clubhouse soon.
Thanks for listening to the School of Influence podcast. Amanda and Neil would be honored if you spend a minute to write a review wherever you are listening to this podcast to help expose these interviews to a broader audience. Make sure you hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on future episodes. Even better, build your influence and ours by sharing this podcast on your favorite social media with hashtag School of Influence. We would love to hear from and engage with you.